This is Leafs Breakfast.
The Toronto Maple Leafs eliminated from the postseason on Saturday night. They lose 2-1 in overtime to the Boston Bruins. Naturally, there will be questions, and we hope to get some answers as early as today, as the Maple Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe and the players will speak today at 11:30. Management, without any specification as to who that management is, will speak on Thursday. Let's welcome in TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
So when you see the release from the Leafs explaining what's going to happen with their postseason press conferences, can we draw anything to the departure from the protocols that they had in the past? They're doing things differently this year. Does that infer to you that there could be maybe more significant change as early as this week than we expected?
Well, I mean, it is unusual that you would have a gap in the availabilities. So the fact that management, and I suspect that's Brad Treliving and Brendan Shanahan, would be available or are available, scheduled to be available on Thursday, you know, that just implies, doesn't it, that Treliving and company need more time. Now, I don't feel like he's up against the clock, per se, as a general manager here. But, you know, as we tore apart post-overtime loss of Game 7 on Saturday, there are a multitude of decisions that have to be made. And frankly, a lot of them that, you know, Leafs Nation and even media don't really know or understand as to how deep it cuts. Yeah, obviously, it begins with the coaching future of Sheldon Keefe as head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But then you look at the roster. Okay, there are some things that organically have to get looked at with your crop of unrestricted free agents, which includes, you know, Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi and Joel Edmondson and Ilya Labushkin. I mean, there's some bigger pieces there, restricted free agents. And now you haven't even talked about what you're doing with the core. Are you really, really seriously going to consider trading Mitch Marner? And understanding, and the fan base needs to understand this, he has a full no-move clause. So, you know, unless you can identify and find a fit on the teams that Marner potentially, hypothetically, is willing to go to, that is a formidable challenge. So if we rewind and back it up here, I think it starts with the decision on Sheldon Keefe first. He's entering his two-year contract extension. At this point, and I, on Saturday, made it pretty clear that I thought that it was more likely than not there'd be a coaching change. I'm still leaning towards change because even though Sheldon, I think, has done decent work, you know, he's also part of a process and a hockey operation that hasn't been successful beyond the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs and painfully again beyond the first round this year of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's where it starts. So whether or not Treliving and Shanahan get to that phase by Thursday, I mean, it's possible. I don't think they're going to let it linger.
So, Drakes, the Keefe thing is a fascinating subject right now because he is scheduled to speak today.
Yeah.
If he was a guy that wasn't going to be around, why would he be out there speaking today?
It's a good question, right? And you know, again, that definitely adds a layer of intrigue to all of this. Is Sheldon Keefe going to say a lot more today than what he said on Saturday? In fact, I think, you know, if you want to, again, go back to, the darkest part of the series when Toronto was down 3-1. Remember the start of the series, and Sheldon made it clear he couldn't talk about anything because that was the direction of Brad Treliving. I can't talk about injuries. I can't talk about the availability of this guy or that guy. And by the time you got to game 4 and 5, he loosened up considerably. And he's still not doling out, you know, specifics on injury or whatnot. But he got a lot more forthcoming with information and almost philosophically in terms of what he saw. But I liked it, and I thought he did it with the players in mind. He didn't bury anybody. You know, he was just very honest in the approach, and he was honest in his assessment after the loss Game 7. You know, he looked at Games 3 and 4 and said, come on, I mean, we just weren't good enough, didn't play the game that we needed to play, and included maybe parts of Game 1 in that as well. Okay, well, again, a very honest assessment. So It does seem a bit weird. If there was going to be a change, why would they roll him out to this point?
Right.
But I do think that anything is possible. I still feel that way until somebody that matters of substance says he's our coach. This is not a coaching issue, which is also fair here, guys, right? Like, I think that all of us keep looking at, okay, well, it hasn't worked. So there has to be significant change. And we're all trying to map out what that change looks like. And it's not that simple, either with the roster, aside from, again, you know, unrestricted free agents walking in the open market. If the Maple Leafs can't find a way to extend them, you know, finding that mysterious trade for an $11 million cap hit, like Mitch Marner, who's going into the final year of his deal. What do you do with the captaincy of John Tavares? What do you do with John Tavares? I mean, on and on and on it goes. Mm-hmm. So maybe they just don't feel like Sheldon Keefe should be the fall guy. So if it's not the coach, then who is it?
Well, that's,
a lot needs to get done.
That's a great question, Dregs. But don't you think any significant change with this group has to start with Shanahan and whether or not he's still in charge or not? Because since he's been in charge, there hasn't really been significant change. And if he's still in charge, hard to believe that there still will be any significant change.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I look at it more macro than micro. So if you're a board member of Maple Leaf Sports or you're Keith Pelley, you know, the new boss coming in, you're still really fresh. Do I think that Keith Pelley has had conversation with Brendan Shanahan? Of course he has. Do I think that Pelley, supports Shanahan? I have no reason to think otherwise. I'll put it that way. Because you do have to look at it if you're in his shoes, Keith Pelley's, from a macro position. The business model of the Toronto Maple Leafs is as sound as any. Hockey operations, it's run pretty well, as far as I can tell. I mean, it's all based on resources, but the Toronto Maple Leafs players, staff, everyone associated lack for nothing. Well, some of that, a lot of that has to do with the overseeing of Brendan Shanahan. You want him to fault Shanny for anything? Maybe he's been too patient.
Yep.
You know, maybe he allowed, you know, the last regime in Kyle Dubas to linger more than he should have. Maybe he should have been more involved in that degree. Everybody assumes that everything that's decided in hockey operations has to have a stamp of approval from Brendan Shanahan. That's not reality. That's not what happens. You know, Kyle Dubas essentially had autonomy, and Brad Treloving does as well. Do you think those guys are actually making decisions without talking to Shanny? Why would you, based on his history? So, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could change the president. Is that really going to
change? Oh, no, I'm not advocating for that, Dregs. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What's that going to change, Carlo?
What's it going to change? So you're making a Leaf fan happy, or you're making the media happy? No.
Well, hold on. But I think it's also noteworthy that Shanahan is going into the final year of his contract, right, Darren? That is correct?
That's fair, and that's why this is even a little bit worthy of conversation for me. And it's because, okay, you're either flipping the switch, and you're deciding that, okay, if a hockey operations genuinely is flawed, and you can make that case right now, based on, again, all the challenges that Brad Treloving, his general manager, is going to have to face here. But the bigger decision, if you're the board or you're Keith Pelley, is, okay, if we're not going with a change in direction at the top, meaning Brendan Shanahan is safe, well, then the next thing is we need to extend him. What's the point of having him go into the final year? Now, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but it's also been Shanny's position, and by extension, the board of Maple Leaf Sports, to allow individuals to play out the string of their contract. Remember, that's essentially how you got into the Kyle Dubas situation last year. It's because, yeah, they wanted to see the body of his work. Well, that'll apply to Brendan Shanahan, or it should if they're playing by the same playbook, and I think that they are.
TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger, our guest here on Leafs Breakfast. I wanted to go back to the Marner conversation. You brought up the full no move, which he has. Marner entering the final year of his deal, $10.9 million. And on July 1st, the Maple Leafs could extend him, and maybe they will broach that conversation. But I'm also curious about the other side of this, the other 31 teams around the NHL who would have to take on Marner's cap hit for this season, give him a contract extension if they were to trade for him, and give up significant assets to the Toronto Maple Leafs in order to bring Marner in. Do you think there's an appetite from a decent number of teams to do all three of those things, Darren, in theory?
Did we lose him?
I guess my question was so provocative that Darren Dreger just had to leave leave the show. So I don't know, we'll try to get Darren back on. I do think it's a reasonable question. I think there is this assumption from people that, oh, if the Leafs wanted to find a trade suitor for Marner, they could very easily. If you're another general manager who's sitting there watching the Leafs and the Bruins, be like, yes, I want to trade a lot of stuff off my roster, maybe draft picks as well, to trade for Marner and give him a massive contract extension, making him one of the highest paid players in the NHL. I don't know how many GMs out there are willing to do that. Do we have Dreger back on the line, guys?
Yes, he's back.
Okay, so Darren's back on the line. Darren, I'm not sure if you heard my question. Basically, to sum it up quickly, the prospect of another team trading for Marner, taking on his cap hit, giving him a contract extension, and giving up assets. You think there's a lot of teams out there who'd be willing to do that?
Well, yes, I think that there are teams out there that would be willing to do that, because what I will say, and we can all appreciate this, you know, teams around the NHL do look at the skill set of Mitch Marner and, you know, categorize him as being elite. For sure they do. His playoff production historically has been pretty sound. He's just not the player that Maple Leafs fans need him, want him, expect him to be in the playoffs, right? You know, the throw the team on your back type of guy, the guy like Austin Matthews in game two, or William Nylander as the series went on, right? And unfortunately for Marner, he hasn't been able to be that deciding presence. So yes, undoubtedly, there will be teams interested. It won't be easy because of the cap hit and the fit that is required. You know, if Mitch is leaving Toronto and he's got to sign off on that, he's going to want to go to a fit where he thinks that they can win. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And if you're a team that's interested, it's probably a sign and trade, because you really want to give up the assets, take on that big cap hit, and then have to tangle with Marner in free agency again. And the answer to that is probably not. So it's complicated, but possible. And I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. I don't think Marner wants out. I know that he loves playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but if the Leafs feel that that's their best way to move forward, then I'm sure he's okay with not having to deal with the noise every single day.
Dregs, can you give us an update as to what happened with Joseph Woll and his availability for Game 7?
Yeah, bit bizarre, to be fair. I was told, without being specific, he pulled something. And it's believed it happened on that goal late in the game with 0.1 seconds left. So, jeez, you know, pull the groin, something along those lines. But as Keith acknowledged, you know, they hoped it would get better during the off day. And in fact, it got worse during the off day. The only thing I would say about Joe Woll, and Carlo, maybe you went through this, I'm sure you were around players throughout your career. He's got a history now of injury. So he's either incredibly unlucky, and it's probably a combination of things, or as a lot of athletes do, you go to a place where you've got to take stock and rethink your off season, how you train, all of the things, right? So I'm wondering if that's not in the near future for Joseph Woll, because he had an opportunity this year to take the net. I mean, the signs were there, weren't they, that he was ready, especially in the playoffs. And just bad luck. I mean, you know, injury takes out some of the best players ever. We can appreciate that. But he's got to find a way, I think, to train and put himself in a position to maintain that good health and not luck, let luck become an issue. But that was a weird one. And the Matthews injury was weird as well. I mean, I was told that it was, if not concussion related, you know, perhaps symptoms related that could have drifted from the virus, from the illness that he was dealing with. So some weird stuff, which maybe we'll hear more about from Matthews today.
Darren, do you think it would be fair for the Leafs to point out their misfortune in this series? And I'm sure I can just feel the entire listenership here just rolling their eyes when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. Joseph Woll misses Game 7. Matthews misses 2-plus games. Nylander misses 3 games. Is that fair to use as an excuse, or there are no excuses at playoff time?
No, I wouldn't say they're excuses. Again, look at the Boston Bruins. They played an entire year with, third-line centers.
Exactly.
They didn't and couldn't replace Patrice Bergeron or David Krejci. And last I checked, the Boston Bruins played the right way, very structured, didn't panic. If Toronto played 4 of the 7 games the way they played Game 5 and 6, you're setting up a different series and you're looking at the Florida Panthers. That's just the reality. And they were able to do that, you're right, with a healthy Joe Woll, but without Austin Matthews and, again, the critics in Leafs Nation, without some of the other participants. But they played well. They played the way you have to play to win in the playoffs. So it was still there. They still had the talent to win.
You have a Florida-Boston prediction for us, Darren?
Well, it's not going to be a cakewalk for the Florida Panthers. But I do think that Florida is the best team. So I suspect that one will probably go at least 6 games, but I think Florida wins.
I tend to agree. Well, this should be a fun week in Leafland. 11:30, the players and the coach, Sheldon Keefe, will speak to the media. Perhaps we'll learn something on that. And then Thursday, it's expected that management will speak. Again, no one is specified as to who the management are. Again, we anticipate it will be Brad Treliving and Brendan Shanahan, but we'll have to find out on Thursday. Thank you for doing this, Darren. We'll speak to you later this week.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
See you, Bill.
That's TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. This hour of First Up was brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Order a pizza and wings combo. 1 large pizza, 3 toppings, and 10 wings, only $29.49. Try their new Thai sweet chili wing sauce. 2for1pizza.com. Hour 3 is coming up. We'll talk to Mike Johnson. We'll talk to Dave Festchuk and give out our winners of the weekend. All that still to come.